Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hey, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're putting a big spotlight on the Southwest, a big turkey spotlight for the purposes of this show. And thank you for joining us. I want to mention that this show is made possible because of the support of Pima Association of Governments. And they have so many programs, you would have to be checking their website daily. They have initiatives, and they really are outstanding examples of a public-private partnership that's working and one that's committed to continuous improvement to the quality of our life in Pima County. They're the silent giants behind a lot of things that are going on, and hopefully this show and many others I've done with them brings all their workings to light. My guest today is Colleen Crown and Shield, and everybody can hear me grinning. This is not her first rodeo nor her first radio show on Mrs. Green's World. Colleen, welcome.
Thank you so much. And you're right. It's not my first rodeo, Gina.
And it is not your first radio. I thought that was pretty clever. I spoke with Colleen earlier and I said, let's really just yuck it up and have some fun and still deliver the important content that we have to talk about today. Colleen is the program manager for Clean Cities Coalition. She has her fingers in many sustainable pies. I want to use all these puns because it's Thanksgiving. This time it's going to be, I can't help myself. I'm going on vacation tomorrow. So it's like, let's be goofy here in Tucson and around the country. And if you have been a part of Mrs. Green's World for any time whatsoever, you know that Colleen has been a frequent guest on our show wearing many hats. And the serious part of this is the success of the event that you're planning the Friday after Thanksgiving. It's a day after Thanksgiving grease collection event. And I think we should go into what it is, where it is, a little bit of the history, and why should people care? Because they really should. So let's start with...
Well, let me tell you, we have been doing this for almost 10 years. And it started as just a kind of a fun thing, and we thought, well, you know what, we'll educate a few people, and it has really grown to be not only something that the community has asked for every year, but has really made a big difference in Greece, in our sewer systems, and in the production of biodiesel. So now we're getting calls and emails from all over the world asking us if we'll help them set up this very event in their areas. So it really is touching the lives of a lot of people. So what the event is it's called our Day After Thanksgiving Grease Recycle Event. A lot of people, it's become a very popular thing to fry your turkeys in big vats of peanut oil or, you know, of grease. And so we actually take that grease and we make biodiesel out of it. So, you know, you're not disposing of it in the landfills, which, you know, then can have all kinds of implications with birds eating it and depositing it in places that we don't really want to think about. And you know, or down your drains causing sewer backups. We take it and we make biodiesel, and it's used in diesel engines and taking, you know, petroleum off the road. And it's just a great feel-good event.
And what is the reason why anyone in their right mind would put grease down their drain? I mean, you're not going to just take the day after Thanksgiving turkey grease. Bring on the grease for this collection day. You'll take grease, bacon fat.
We'll take everything.
You know, bring your grease. It gets filtered out and processed. So people, like really, we keep our, we don't have much anymore because I gave up bacon now that I'm a cruelty-free person, and I miss it. I miss it every day, but we still cook with oil, and so we have a can that we keep it in because it will really cause problems to your pipes.
It can wreak havoc on our sewer systems, and you know, one of the biggest issues down in Nogales, Mexico, was the backups of their sewer system, and you know, their sewer. was overflowing and going into the Santa Cruz River, which flows north, which comes right to Tucson. And so, you know, they had come to us and said, gosh, what can we do here? How can we get this? How can we, first of all, educate people as to why they do not want to put it down their drains? And then what can we do with it if they decide to not put it down their drains and not put it in the landfills, but give it to us? So, you know, that was one of our first efforts, is working with the Rio Rico Fire District and the Balbetos Fire District and teaching them how to make biodiesel. And now they're making their own biodiesel and running it in all their emergency response equipment. It's
unreal.
It's phenomenal.
I mean, that's the pebble in the pond. And let's talk a little bit about the locations, because we are going to Facebook. We're going to tweet the heck out of this during Thanksgiving.
All right.
During Thanksgiving week. I mean, we're getting a lot of really good activity on Twitter. We'll hashtag Pima County and Grease Collection and all that stuff. But now it's grown to where it really is a citywide event. And you have other partners. So let's talk about the event locations, because people listen to these podcasts constantly. So where are you going to be? Where can people find you? That's the first question. But the second question is, what is it going to look like? I'm out of town every Thanksgiving, and I want to come to a day after Thanksgiving Grease Collection event. Where do you put the grease? So where are the locations, and where do you put the grease?
So we have one location that has been with us since the very beginning, and that's O'Reilly Chevrolet. And I cannot say enough good things about the fact that they allow us to set up shop out front. This really does not benefit them in any way. They just do this to be good community partners. So I can't say enough about all of the locations that do this just to be good community partners. So O'Reilly Chevrolet at 6160 East Broadway is one location.
And that's more for Eastsiders, right?
That's for Eastsiders.
Okay.
And we have our Midtown location, which is the council, the Ward 3 Council office.
Right.
And that's at 1510 East Grant Road. Then we have our Northwest location, which is the Pima Vocational High School at 5025 West Ina Road. Then we have our south side location, which is the City of Tucson's wastewater or water treatment plant number 2, which is at 1102 West Irvington Road. Then we have the Sal Rita Town Hall. So Sal Rita participates with us as well, and they do an event at the town hall there as well. And, you know, we have people, Gina, that we actually have a guy who pulls up to our east side location, and he has what people refer to as a lunch coach or a roach coach. I hate to call
it
that.
But it's okay. I mean, they don't even mind calling it. It's not bad.
A food truck. And they give us their old grease.
Oh, my
gosh. They do. And we have the cutest little old lady who comes every year with her little Folgers can of bacon grease. She saves it up all year long. She brings it to us, and we give her back her Folgers can every time. It's everything in between. It's everything in between. We have big plastic bins that you'll actually get to see us pour the grease in, because we like to see it rise. The media loves to see, you know, at the beginning of the day and then at the end of the day how much grease we get.
Year
we've put a little twist on it this year. So we wanted to try to draw more kids and get them involved and teach them about this. So from 9 to 10, we will, at the O'Reilly location only, we will have a big fire truck, and we're going to have some firemen there to talk to kids, you know, just a little bit about safety at the holidays and things, and just to kind of show kids that, you know, something else can run that fire truck as well.
Education opportunity for families. And just let me add this one little thing. No, I don't want to interrupt, but to keep people away from Black Friday. I'm one of the, I'm boycotting stores on Black Friday. I'm not going to give them my money unless it's a locally owned store. So you can have fun and educate your kids about biodiesel. And what kid, no matter how old, even at 60-something, doesn't love a fire truck?
I'm excited about
honest to goodness,
for heaven's sake. And then we're also, you know, we also decided that we wanted to give something more back to the community. So we're also offering boxes for Toys for Tots. So at the east side location and at the south side location, we're going to have a box for Toys for Tots, too.
I've got to put that in. What an opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Then we're also going to have we thought this would be a good year for us to really start educating our Hispanic population. So we've got a Hispanic radio station that's going to have somebody at the Southside location as well. And, you know, we're just trying to look for opportunities to grow the education of what
this is.
Grow
the grease. I'm loving this alliteration.
And the education.
Yes.
You know, we want people to see that there's a reason for this. It's not just to see Colleen full of grease, which, believe me, I get full of grease. So, and I drag my son down and make him help, and he loves it. He absolutely loves it. It's a lot of fun.
I've seen James at these events. So tell me, what location will Colleen Crown and Shield be at?
Colleen Crown and Shield will be at the Eastside O'Reilly location. That's where I started, so I've been at that location every year. But we will have some other of our wonderful PAG employees, Pima Association of Governments employees, at some of the other locations, and you'll have Pima County Wastewater at each location. And then our two biodiesel manufacturing companies here in Tucson, which is GreaseCycle and EDG Fuels. So they'll both be out there as well and kind of just talking to people about biodiesel, the process of making biodiesel, and really why we want to do this. You know, Pima County Wastewater's stand on this is they don't want to see it in the sewer systems. You know, this is your tax dollars that pay for overtime for these employees to have to go clean grease out of a sewer system.
It's so
gross.
If it
backs up, it's smelly. It's disgusting. It's a hazard if it backs up. So this is just, you know, one more way for us to have something fun, but show people and really educate people as well.
And people talk about green a lot. You know, green is more expensive. This is a prime example where people, are you listening? It can clog your pipes in your own home. It can force costly repair bills. And then Colleen said the S word. It can cause raw sewage to back up into your home. I mean, this to me is like a consumer no-brainer. And the one thing I would say to people that are listening, bring a friend. Tell somebody in your family. If you're having a big Thanksgiving dinner, get other people on board and help it really spread organically in those ways. I think it's a real attention getter.
It doesn't cost people a thing either, you know. They say, well, I don't have a diesel engine. Well, you breathe the fumes of a diesel engine. So, and your children and your cousins and your, you know, nephews and nieces, if you don't have your own children, they're all breathing the fumes of those diesel engines. And this is very simple for diesel engine owners because even at a 20% biodiesel blend, where they blend 20% of biodiesel into diesel fuel, it reduces that black plume, that black smoke pipe that comes out of your tailpipe. It reduces that by almost 50%,
a
20% blend of biodiesel.
So
it really can make a huge difference for all of us environmentally.
And tell people that might be sitting here saying, biodiesel, what's that? Like, what are you talking about, biodiesel? I know about diesel. I know about gas. I know about compressed natural gas. What's biodiesel? And I know you have the answer to that.
Absolutely, and we'll be educating people that day as well. But biodiesel is a fuel that is made from several different ways. It can be made from soy. It can be made from grease, just like we're doing. And you can use it in any diesel engine as a replacement for diesel fuel. There is no retrofits needed to the engine. It acts as a cleaning agent, so it cleans and strips that tank. So you want to make sure you have fuel filters on hand for the first couple of months because it will clean that tank and clean that engine. But they don't have to have any type of modifications to the engines whatsoever. They can use biodiesel in any way, shape, or form in that engine.
Now, do you remember when you invited me, this had to be 5 years ago or 6 years ago, when Mr. Green and I went over to Foothills Mall, and there was a fair where all these people that were using biodiesel had their cars and trucks. And I remember sitting next to some guy who was making soap out of another byproduct of it, and he said that he had not put gas in his car. He had not spent a penny on gas for something like 7 years because he used cooking oil.
And, you know, I just found out that a neighbor of mine, his daughter is in a co-op at the U of A called Engineers Without Borders. And they're teaching people about biodiesel, and they're learning to make their own biodiesel through co-ops. So, I mean, what a great way, first of all, for students to be able to get together, you know, and just talk and laugh and have fun while teaching and learning something great for our environment. I mean, you know, I also think, you know, you get a lot of people who say, oh, gosh, I'm not one of those greeny tree-hugging people. You know what? You don't have to be to care. You don't have to be a, you know.
Like, who doesn't want to preserve the planet? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, they say, oh, well, I'm one of those people that I believe in, you know, making money. And, you know, so do I. That's why I work.
Bring it on.
I can still care about the environment and wanting to do something good. So, and this just is one of those examples.
You know, I don't think I've ever asked you this question in all of these years, and it's certainly not meant to put you on the spot. But when a consumer hears about choices, there's cases to be made for using compressed natural gas. I've so learned about that from you with fleets. There's electric vehicle use. There's converting to biodiesel. What do you advise the average consumer to do before making a decision if they want to shift to something that's more environmentally friendly and economically viable?
I encourage them to look at all the options. I encourage them to look at their own driving needs. You know, it's very important to look at your own driving needs. If you are a one-car family and you like to take drives to San Diego, you know, every summer, compressed natural gas or an all-electric vehicle is not the right option for you. It's important that we look at all the options, weigh how your driving needs exist. What is there for you? What is it that you need on a daily basis? And make your purchase from that. Make your purchase from being realistic. My biggest fear with alternative fuels is that people will listen to me and say, well, Colleen said to buy an all-electric vehicle,
right,
and now I need
right
to go all the way to Flagstaff every day. No, I want people to think and to look at their own needs. And, you know, if they have to ask questions, find out, educate yourself. You know, educate as to what's out there, what the drawbacks could be, what the benefits are, and make your decisions from there.
And I think it really, really matters. It's such a thing that's integrated on so many things. Our dependency on foreign oil, a cleaner burning alternative. You know about the biodiesel plant in Hawaii. It's totally green waste, and it's totally green waste. It's not even cooking
Absolutely.
Oil.
Absolutely.
So you can,
you know, Gina, I think it's important also. I just want to, you know, I was at an event on Saturday. I took my children to learn how to defensive drive at a free event that was being offered. And I had one of the instructors, who's a race car driver, say, well, gee, you know, do you want people to just start growing corn everywhere for ethanol? Absolutely not. I think it's important that people understand that these fuels need to be looked at in their production of them the same as you would look at it as what your needs are. I don't want people to just start ripping up the land and planting corn everywhere. I want people to look at what grows well in their areas, what they have an abundance of, and look to see if that alternative is right for that production.
Because as you said,
Arizona,
it's biodiesel.
It can be grease, for heaven's sakes. Grease, you know, and we have an abundance of it here. It's easy. It's very abundant. So I just, you know, I just like to make sure that people understand that that's, you know, when I look at alternative fuels, I think that we all have to, you know, be realistic in what is out there for ourselves as well. I don't want us to start ripping up the planet so that we can drive more cars. That's not what I want us to do.
And, you know, is there a way for you in your role of managing multiple programs and dealing with multiple partners, both here and nationally, to be able to assess? I know you have to do rigorous reporting to the federal government, but is there a way to assess what you believe to be is trending more even in this area or nationally in terms of our fleets going more towards, you know, compressed natural gas? Are car owners looking at electric vehicles? Are truck drivers looking at biodiesel? Is there a way that you're able to track where it's trending? Where is it all going? Is it getting better?
The Department of Energy actually does track just that. They're looking at use all across the nation and actually around the world and seeing, you know, what areas tend to have a higher use of what sort of alternative. You know, so it's important that people understand as well that feedstocks for these fuels change very quickly, and they change in a blink of an eye. And, you know, the vehicles themselves and what those vehicles can be converted to. You know, a year ago, if you would have told me that BMW was going to start making an all-electric vehicle, I would have said, huh, yeah, you know, in our next lifetime. But they are. They're starting, you know, each manufacturer is starting to look at all types of alternatives and what appeals to them. And, you know, I see right now, I see a growing use of natural gas. We have about a 100-year supply without fracking. So whatever your views are on fracking, everybody, you know, and be involved. I'm not saying fracking's bad or good. I'm saying get involved, find out, educate yourself. But, you know, we have a 100-year supply of natural gas without fracking. Be a conscious consumer and really educate yourself as to what, you know, your thoughts and likes are. We have a lot of farmers who have been using propane for many, many years in their farm equipment who are just realizing that they can use propane in their vehicles too. You know, gosh, I already have. You know, I had a farmer just on Saturday, another gentleman tell me, he has a cotton farm up in Marana. He's had huge propane tanks on his site since that farm started when his father bought it 70 years ago.
Wow.
He had no idea that he could purchase vehicles that ran on the propane that he had been bringing in for his farm equipment for 70 years.
Oh, my God. So that's a perfect segue to my next question, which is to me, the $64,000 question in my world. One of the reasons I do this, and you know this, is to get the word out about every aspect of sustainability and environmental practices that I can possibly intersect. I am not the Holy Grail. I don't have, you know, 50,000 followers on Twitter. But as a government agency that's responsible for the implementation of programs, like, you don't have time. You're not a social media agency. You know what I mean?
So, exactly.
And,
yes,
and,
I do.
And yet, how do you feel like the county and Pima Association of Governments can position itself to get the word out about things like this? Because it may seem like, oh, yeah, it's just the day after Thanksgiving grease collection event, but it's profoundly important. It can really have an environmental cost, a monetary cost. I mean, it's a cost to the consumer in their own home. What can you guys do to get the word out so that you're so swamped that makes the news instead of someone kicking somebody else to the curb at Walmart or Kmart to get the cheapest toy? I mean, that's what they show on TV.
You know, I know, and you're so right there. And, you know, Gina, in my mind, partnering with other agencies that do just that as well, partnering with Mrs. Green, partnering with the Southern Arizona Green Chamber, partnering with all of these like-minded individuals out there who have friends who are not like-minded, but we want to educate them. And, you know, I firmly believe that I'm not going to be able to reach everybody out there.
No.
But if I'm trying to reach out and you're trying to reach out and they're trying to reach out and we each have five friends that knew nothing about it, but now they do, and they've got 10 friends that knew nothing about it, we're reaching a lot of people in the end that we didn't even realize we were reaching.
And, you know, I'm
so
learning.
I think those partnerships are
really
vital.
Important.
They're vital.
That can
They're
cause
vital.
The tipping point. And, you know, you have somebody, I'm going to just shout out to her, Kelly King on my team.
Oh,
she makes things
a
community event. So she would do something like, I'm taking my grease to, you know, 6160 East Broadway. Anybody want to go to, you know, the Good Egg for coffee after that with the kids? That's such appropriate use of a Facebook post. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So the young people
Absolutely.
Are using it as ways to gather, as ways to invite people, as ways to, you know, raise awareness. And I think that's more of a personal invitation than looking like somebody bought time to put an ad on the side of a Facebook page. So I encourage people to do that. Yeah,
I can't agree with you more. And I do think that, you know, and again, you know, I don't mean to beat a horse here, but people like Kelly, you know, it doesn't have to be something you personally are always doing. Just hear about what's happening out there. And you know what, it might appeal to some of your friends. You know, if you know, the household hazardous waste is doing a special collection, well, it might not you know, it might not really be my thing, but I might have somebody on my Facebook that it is their thing. So getting that word out through those things is extremely important.
It's the power of the partnerships. And you have the Clean Cities Coalition members that can help get the word out through their businesses. And the thing that
I'm so fortunate in that.
Yeah, it's challenging because when you're running a business, it's hard to keep up with all those other pieces when you're trying to keep things on the shelves and hiring employees and doing personnel actions. Oh, I forgot to tweet today. So it's like, it's the never-ending challenge of you got to keep it up because that's where we're going to meet young people to change the awareness because they're on Twitter or Instagram. Trust me.
Okay. Oh, they are out there.
As you know. So what else is Colleen up to? I think we only have a couple of minutes left. What else is going on in the world of Colleen Crown and Shield as we bring 2013 almost to an end? I can't stand it.
Oh, I cannot believe that I can't believe that we're in November already. But, you know, there's so many great things going on out there, Gina, with respect to alternative fuels and so many things that we're seeing from our own coalition members. And, you know, you and I both know the great things that Golden Eagle Distributors is doing. But, you know, they're touching a lot of other companies out there.
And
Nationally. They
and
really
local,
are.
Yes.
We've got our legislative breakfast coming up in Phoenix in March. And, you know, that's where we take our members, like Golden Eagle, and we pitch a tent on the lawn of the Capitol, and we make them listen. We buy them lunch or breakfast so they think, you know what, I get to go eat for free as long as I just listen a little. And I'm telling you what, they listen and they see, and you've got people actually using these fuels out there that are talking to them, educating them, and showing them why this is so important for Arizona. So we have those events going on. You know, and then we always have our Clean Cities meetings, and we have them bi-monthly. We just, we'll have another one tomorrow, and, you know, we just, another one of your big supporters and big members, Chapman Automotive. I got to tell you, they're just really going great guns with their dedicated natural gas Honda Civic program. So just a
and
lot
they,
going
you know,
out.
They are good partners. They are good partners. On Sunday, I'm going to be with the Going Green team and lots of other Chapman employees to do a build for Habitat for Humanity. Because
oh,
they're,
wonderful.
I know. So they gave a donation, and they're going to get out 60 to 70 of their employees on a Sunday. We have to meet at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's okay. It's all good.
You can do it
to help with the Habitat for Humanity project. But that's what you're talking about. When you're a good partner, you show up in people's lives in more ways than you ever anticipated. It's the sum is greater than the parts of the whole is greater than the some of the parts. I had to get coached on that one. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Okay, it's cracking me up. We have less than 2 minutes left. All right, how do people contact you?
Our time always goes so fast.
It is. Seriously, how do they contact you, and what's the best way for them to find out all of these great locations?
The best way to go is our website. The website has everything listed on there, including what we're doing and where we're doing it. And that website is www.pagnet.org. So all the things that are happening with respect to alternative fuels are right there on the website and, you know, on our Facebook page as well. We always try to put Facebook posts about everything that's happening with respect to alternative fuels. So that's our Tucson Clean Cities Facebook page. So either of those two places is going to give them all the information they need.
And I want a picture of that lady that comes if you see her, because I have never seen her.
Actually, I take a picture every year of her. And
well, I want to
see it. It's fun.
You post that on the Mrs. Green Facebook page. Everybody, thank you so much for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. Colleen, thanks for what you and PAG and all the people there are doing in this partnership to make our community quality improved. Next week, Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. Goodwill equals good partners. Liz Galilo, I think it's that, Galilo maybe, and Andrea Brooks will be here telling us about what Goodwill takes and what they don't. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. This information will be at mrsgreensworld.com as well. Colleen, thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for taking the time out of your day. Make it a great green one.
Thank you, Gina.
Thanks, everybody.
All right.